We're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, this morning, beginning in verse 41. Do you love your city? Hope you love Pensacola. We don't find many people that were born here, that stay here and are here all their life. Now, there are many of you in this very room that were born here and you've stayed here all your life. I know some of you that have done that. But the great majority of our populace come here from elsewhere, oftentimes through military or whatever, and then it becomes home. And they come and make Pensacola their place. City of Five Flags, the oldest city in America. Now, we know that the forefathers came here and it was the first place. Then it washed away by a hurricane. Well, that's Pensacola, amen. Then another city in Florida, which is the oldest and longest inhabited city on a continuous basis. Pensacola was the first place. People often ask me, they hear about our small town and we make national news from time to time, and oftentimes it has something to do with the spiritual nature. Why the war over schools? Why the abortion doctors' killings? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you one. The first thing that happened in this city is they stuck three crosses down on the white beach. And it made the devil mad. He keeps his eye on this place, the land and home of the free and the brave. Started in a little place on white sandy shores. And we need to keep lifting high that emblem. If you looked at the crest of the city of Pensacola, you want to know what's right in the middle of it? That cross. It's on the top of DeLuna's helmet. The cross. Now, you don't see that in a lot of the plays, the reenactment. But let me tell you, the cross was central and is central to Pensacola, Florida. It's at the heart of who we have been. When is the last time you wept over your town? When's the last time you wept over anything? There's a lot of scripture. Peter wept over his disobedience when the rooster crowed in Matthew 26:75. He went out and wept over his sin. We ought to cry over our sin, amen? We find Jesus wept over Lazarus when he died in John 11:35. He wept not over his sin, but over his sorrow. And when our hearts are broken, we weep. Amen? We have sorrow. In Acts 20:38, the elders wept over Paul when they sent him away and there was going to be separation. And when we have separation, we weep. And when people leave our church, and it's a rare Sunday, I don't have a young military couple come by and hug me and say, "Pastor, thank you, but this is our last Sunday. Can you tell us where there's an olive in this town or this town or this town where we're being shipped off to?" And there's separation. Often there's tears. I met a sweet lady coming in this morning, said, "This is my second time to visit this church." I said, "Are you new to town?" She said, "Well, I've lived here before and I'm maybe going to move back." She said, "It all predicated on whether I can find a church or not." God cements her heart here. Maybe she'd be a part of us. I don't know the mind of God for that sweet lady. But separation brings tears. One place we rarely look about tears is in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 4. And the Bible says that John that wrote Revelation, when they wrote the Revelation, there was a book and nobody could open it. And John wept. Why? Because he could not get Revelation. He wanted to know more. And then finally Jesus stepped up and said, I can open the book. John's tears were turned to joy. But in Luke 19, verse 41, we find Jesus crying over a city. In verse 28, he's told the disciples to go ahead to Jerusalem, and he's walking, and he gets down to Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and he says, go get a colt, and they bring it back, and they put the blankets on it, and he gets on it, and he's going to ride into Jerusalem. And when he rides toward Jerusalem, they're singing and shouting, Hosanna! But verse 41 of Luke 19, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. Jerusalem, the judgment's coming. They will level you to the ground and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Jesus, sitting on a little colt, riding into Jerusalem, and he comes up over the Mount of Olives. If you've ever been there, it's a beautiful sight. When you come across that mountain and you look down to the Kidron and you see that valley, the Hinnom Valley is there as well, that Jesus said was like hell where all the trash was burnt. And he came up over the Mount of Olives where not many days after this he'd go and he'd weep again. But here he looked over and he saw the city, the wall, beautiful city of Jerusalem that you see on television from time to time. And tears came cascading down his face. And he wept. Olive, it is time for us to weep over Pensacola. We need to cry over our city. We're going to do some of that in our 40 days, starting Christmas Eve. Through the month of January, we're going to weep for many things. And one of them is we're going to weep for Pensacola. Now, there's a lot of good about our town. I love our town. Well, the beaches are beautiful. And let me tell you, if you can't live here in the month of October, you just ought to go to purgatory. I'm just telling you that. Isn't this gorgeous? Amen. This is why we live here, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful weather. For those of you that are legalists and don't know how to smile, I don't believe in purgatory. But there's some half-infidel in here this week that'll write it on the internet that I do. God help you. I love Pensacola. Schools where I've reared my children. Parks where we've run and played. Little gnats that you can't see. And it's just a great place. Amen. But we have issues. Why should we weep over Pensacola? The better question is, why does Jesus weep over Pensacola? In this text, I believe he weeps over us the same he wept over Jerusalem. Look at these three things. Number one, Jesus weeps over Pensacola when Pensacola churches are blind to God's word. He weeps for Pensacola when churches are blind to God's word. Look in verse 42. Even if you had known in this day, even you, the things which made for peace, if you had known, if you'd have just opened your eyes. You see, Jerusalem did not understand the Messiah was coming in. The very word of God incarnate was walking in. And they ignored the word of God. When Pensacola ignores the word of God, Jesus weeps for it. And when he really weeps for it is when her churches ignore. Do you understand how many churches in our town today will never open this book? Do you know there's church after church after church? It'll never open. Oh, they may read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and somebody will sit there and say, well, you know, it's the same old thing I've heard 1,000 times. Why? Because it's this particular Sunday in October, and we've always read it there. And dead as a Mexican siesta. Dead. No exposition of the Word of God. No preaching of the Word of God. No praying. No passion. No invitation. No soul saved. No testimony given. No just dead. Why? Because they've ignored the Word of God. Now, do not set yourself up as a perfect church. We're going to get to us here in a minute. But hear me. Jesus weeps when we ignore revelation. That's what Jerusalem did. And I'm fearful that's what many of our churches in Pensacola do, is ignore the Word. We cannot ignore the Word. Why not? Three things. Number one, because the Word is the Creator. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, you find that the Word of God says, God said, there's His Word, let there be light, and there was. God is in the creating business. In the beginning, God created. And how did He create? He spoke it into creation. How'd you get here? Let me tell you, God spoke you into creation. Just like Rachel Mandisa was singing here a few minutes ago. That the same God that made the mountains and the rivers and the seas made you. He's the Creator. But not only is the Word that creates, it's the Word that recreates. It recreates. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6, look at this verse. Everybody read this out loud. This is just a powerful verse. Let's just say it. I got it on the screen right down here where I can see it with my blind eyes. For God said, read it with me. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. The same God that created, where He said, let there be light, is the one who has shone into our hearts. While He created with light, now He has shown the God. Hear me, friend. If you're dark within your soul today, you're dark because the light of Jesus has never shone within your soul. You've never believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. Do you know the light? There are scores of lost people across Pensacola, and Jesus weeps because they are not recreated. The Word creates. The Word recreates. But let me tell you, the Word also sustains us. We cannot make it without the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 tells us this. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the what? Word of His power. Let me tell you, this old world stays together. You stay together. You keep living because the Word of His power. You can't die till He says so. Amen. You got to live till Jesus says. He upholds us. This church is going to be as long as He says. Pensacola is going to be as long as He says. Because He upholds us by the Word of His. Well, if this Word is so important, what should we be doing about it? We ought to be reading it. If you've never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you've been a Christian over 20 years, you're out of the will of God. Amen. I'll amen myself if you won't. I'm here to tell you, you ought to be a Bible reader. You ought to read the book. You ought to study it. You ought to get in a small group. Everybody's a member of Olive ought to be in a small group. You ought to get in a small group on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, Monday afternoon. You say, well, I don't see any I like. Well, then make you one. People getting together through the Word of God. My daughter's in class right now. She's supposed to be. Not up here, is she? No. She and her fiance gone to the nearly wed, newlywed class. We have one of those. You go to that when you're nearly wed and you stay for a year and then they kick you out. Why? To get around the Word of God. We ought to be in a small group. Then why? You need the Word, but you need others. That you ought to be memorizing the Word of God. Now, I know that's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for me. I'm not a great memorizer. But you'll never memorize if you don't try. Amen. But if you'll put the word in you, I'm here to tell you, it'll come out of you at the right time. Tonight, I'm going to preach on my life verse out of Malachi 2:6. That you've been praying for me for over 20 years, and I'm going to preach on that verse tonight. Malachi 2:6, true instruction was in his mouth, and righteousness not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many back from iniquity. In Malachi 2 and verse number 6. You need to put the word of God within your heart, within your mind, within your soul. I'm telling you, Jesus weeps when Pensacola churches are blind to the word of God. When we are not using the book, Jesus weeps for us. But not only does Jesus weep when Pensacola churches are blind to the word of God, Jesus weeps for Pensacola when children are not properly cared for. Notice what he said in this text. If you had known these things and made for peace, but they didn't, but now it may have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come, verse 43 says, they're coming upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you. This came to pass in the year 70 AD when Titus came to Jerusalem and he burned the city down and he destroyed the temple and everything came crashing down. Verse 44 said, and they will level you to the ground, and they did, and they will level the children within you. I want to tell you what breaks the heart of Jesus. He weeps for his city called Pensacola or any town, but he weeps for our city when the churches are blind to the word of God, but he weeps for the city when children are not properly cared for. When Jesus sees the children go without, weeps. He weeps. And so should we. Children have all kinds of needs. They have physical needs. 61% of Escambia County school children, 61%, 6 out of every 10 Escambia County children who go to school tomorrow morning qualify for free or reduced lunches in our county. 61%. That's a family of four making less than $24,000 a year. And 60% of our kids will qualify. So how do you know that? Because the superintendent of schools, Malcolm Thomas, told me. And he knows because he's the one providing the lunches. I talked to him about it yesterday. So, Malcolm, help me now. I just want to make sure I got my statistic right because you're going to be quoted at Olive tomorrow. Heard him share this in the pastor's meeting. 61%. Olive, we need to be loving on children. Jesus loves children. Matter of fact, he kicked out disciples to get the kids come so he could love on them. Amen. Children have physical needs, but let me tell you, they also have emotional needs. Kids are scared. They're scarred. And they hurt. Oh, a lot of children are just loved. It's amazing how they're loved. But other kids are not loved. Let me tell you, if you got a mom and daddy drags you to church, you ought to kiss their face when you get home. Amen. You ought to hug their neck and thank them. And tell them you're going to fight them next Sunday, but make you go. Why? Because you grow up in the body life of the church. I'm here to tell you, you are a fortunate child. If your mom and daddy loves you and hugs on you and kisses you, you ought to thank God for that. Because there are many children tonight that will go to bed and they'll never see a father. Not today, not tomorrow, not the next day. And Jesus weeps when the children are not properly cared for. They have physical needs, they have emotional needs, they have spiritual needs. That's why we're giving out these boxes. That's why Lonnie does soccer. I was out there yesterday. This man, his staff. Why, there's young'uns everywhere playing communist sports right here on the campus of Olive Baptist. Little bitty ones and big ones and kicking and running and throwing. And yeah, when it goes out, you get a throw in. I've never played soccer a minute in my life. They didn't have that when I was growing up. Don't know anything about it. No, you can't use your hands and you kick it in the net and it counts one. That's all I know. Sometimes you can run over people and sometimes you can't. I don't understand it. But why do we do upward sports? Kids! I need coaches. I need coaches. I need some men that'll give their Saturdays. They were out there yesterday. I thanked God for them. I went around and tried to say thanks to some of them. They're big and little, and some of them don't know anything about soccer like I do. But they know about kids, and they love kids, and they love mothers. I saw one of our moms out there, Lonnie, and she came up to me, and she was bragging on your staff and said, you know, they do a great job. And she looked at me, and she said, you know, running this thing has nothing to do with sports. It's all a big PR deal. I said, that's right. It's a human relations outfit, because that's what we're trying to do, is relate to mamas and daddies and little boys and girls so we can share the good news of the Lord Jesus with them, because they have a spiritual issue. We're fixing to do basketball. We need coaches. We'll do that. We'll do softball. Then we'll do baseball. I had a coach yesterday said to me, Pastor, I've been coaching at NEP, and I've been cussed, and I've been cheated, and I've been spit on. Now, that's not all they do at NEP, because they have a great program. But it's highly competitive. He said, I've been bringing some of the kids over here with me and bringing them, because he said the environment is, it's just, it's good. Lights going up here in this month on the baseball fields. They got the poles out there. They put the cross arms on them. Somebody gave us money, fixed to put lights on there and light that place up. So this summer, you don't have to play when it's 142 degrees. Amen. You bring snacks and Gatorade, and you boil the Gatorade while it's sitting there waiting on the young. Why do we do that? Because of kids, and they've got a spiritual need, and we need to share Jesus with them. One little kid walked up to me. I heard him say yesterday, heard this morning. He said, there's the pastor. He turned around. He said, where's the master? I'm looking for the master. I looked at him. I said, that's it, son. I'm supposed to tell you where the master is. That's the deal right there. Amen. For my own kids, I'd say, right here's the master. All right, but that, I wasn't his daddy. See, they're so pliable. We got a whole nursery. Needs workers. But a lot of you would rather go sit in some men's Sunday school class or ladies' Sunday school class and sit there for 20 years and never go get in on the floor with the kids. Now, I'm here to tell you that ain't right. Now, I know ain't right, but I'm here to tell you that ain't right. We need mamas and daddies. Give a year of your time and go down there and help Shay and help Dennis with these kids. 2 weeks, we're going to have a fall festival. We're going to have over 3,000 kids on this campus. I need folks to bring candy. I need folks to work and work that day and be around here. For the last 3 or 4 years, I'm working on it right now. I dress up like something. I was a pirate last year. I walk around, love on the kids, and scare old people. I love to have a good time. I walk right by. They just talk about me. They don't even know who I am, because I had a patch on, a hat, and my wife made me an outfit. Kids. Kids. If you weep over this city, you'll serve kids. Kids grow up. We've got over 100 and something, I don't know, gone on a middle school retreat this weekend. I got a text message from Robert Gilliland, our director of Great Commission Ministries, this morning early. He said, Pastor, everything is great at the middle school retreat. Only one window broken, one toe stubbed, and 240 donuts eaten for breakfast. He said, we're having a great day. Jesus said, Jerusalem, when you're destroyed, they're going to level the children with it. Do you know that's the issue? If the spiritual side of all of this town, when the adults quit, the next generation is leveled. That's why we must teach middle schoolers and high schoolers and children and preschoolers. That's why somebody down there needs to be bringing the next generation along, because if one generation is missed, we level the gospel. Jesus weeps for the children. He weeps for the churches. But there's one last thing he weeps for in this text. And you see it, very last line, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You didn't even know that I had come. Jesus weeps for Pensacola when civic leaders are ignorant of God's work. When the civic leaders, thank you, Brother Ed, for praying for the next mayor in that election. We need God's choice for the next governor. I've never had such a hard choice in my life for governor. I told somebody, asked me yesterday, who's you going to vote for? I said, I'm going to put a half a mark in this box and a half a mark in that box. I'm praying through about that election and every election. Because let me tell you, civic leaders are vital. They, civic leaders, must recognize the time of God's visitation. I love that Chilean miner story. Wasn't that good? They brought those guys up out of that hole. I told somebody the other day, I said, if I'd have been in America, here's what they'd have done. They'd have brought the first old boy, Jose, they'd have brought him up out of there, and they'd have said, Jose, whatever it is, and they'd had a D by his name. Then they'd have brought Emmanuel up out of there, and they'd had an R by his name. And they'd say, well, we got 15 Democrats out and 14 Republicans out so far. I mean, you can't even look at television, at the news. That's all it defines. This is the most divided time I've ever seen in our nation in my 57 years. I've never seen such division. I mean, you can't even shake hands and get along. And then they have these talking head shows where they all talk at one time. I turn that off. Three people going. I mean, what is stupid? And nobody can even say, yeah, that's good. Civic leaders have lost their civility. And I'm telling you, the reason they've lost their civility is because there's a very few of them that visit a place like this, that bow on their knees in a place like this. They've forgotten who God is. They've forgotten what Sunday is. And they've told God to go to hell. And they said, we're just going to have this big divide between God and God. Let me tell you, civic leaders, when they do not become responsible, we need to tell them to get responsible, and we need to weep for them like Jesus weeps for them. They've missed the visitation of Holy God. I'm just here to tell you, if you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. And if a political leader's too busy to go to church, he's too busy. You need to find a time you get on your knees before God. But you don't have to come here to do it. But let me tell you, when you are lifted up as a civic leader, you send a great signal when you walk in the house of God. Whether you're the dog catcher or the senator, you send a great message. Now, don't be a hypocrite. I mean, don't come pray and then go live with three men's wives. Civic leaders, God knows they need. Tom Murphy was three terms the mayor of Pittsburgh. He was in Pensacola just a few days ago speaking down at that Human Cognition. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. You ought to go to one of their deals. That is a phenomenal place. I can't even remember how you say their whole name. It's a Human something Cognition. I don't know. I'll get it right later. They make robots. Wild stuff. I've been to several of their lectures, a few of their lectures. Tom Murphy was in town. He was the mayor of Pittsburgh, and he was in speaking to civic leaders in Pensacola. And they have turned Pittsburgh around. You know, you think of Pittsburgh, you just think of nasty smokestacks, and they've turned that around. It's a thriving town, and this old boy did it. They asked him, said, what was the key? He said, you have to be willing to be a one-term mayor. He was three terms. And then he said, civic leadership is essential. Let me tell you, friend, Pensacola needs civic leadership. We're losing our young people. They're leaving this town to get out of here. We need job creation in this city, and we need to weep and pray for our civic leaders. And then when they're elected, you need to write them a good note, go by and let them know you're praying for them, encourage them. You find a candidate you like, you ought to write them a check. You ought to encourage them. I'm just telling you, you ought to be involved. Hold up a sign. Do whatever you want to do, but get involved and then hold them responsible. Whether it's the school board or the county commission, wherever it is, we need to weep for Pensacola. Okay, amen. It's a great introduction to the message, isn't it? That's it. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus came riding on that colt, and he came riding over the mountain, over the Mount of Olives, and he wept because the churches were corrupt. He wept because the children were vulnerable. And he wept because the civic leaders were blind to his. So what did he do? What did he do? Look in the text. Look at the next verse. Did he go to City Hall and have a picket? No. Did he build a Health and Hope clinic for children? No. Jesus entered the temple and began driving out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a robber's den." You know where it always starts? Right here. If Pensacola is going to be what it ought to be, you don't know where it's going. It's going to start in the houses of worship. It's going to start when the robbers are kicked out. Now, what was going on? What do you mean? Well, you see, they had the sacrificial system then. You had to buy a dove or a goat or whatever, and the people were around the temple on the outer court, and when you came in, they'd make you a deal. They were making money off the church. They were selling and trading. It'd become a bazaar around the church, around the synagogue. There's no worship. It was just, man, can I get a dove, a half price? Yeah, and they're swapping money and selling, and then they're running in and doing their sacrificial bidding. And Jesus came in and started cleaning it out. He did this twice, at the beginning of his ministry and here at the end of his ministry. Jesus cleaned the house. Let judgment begin at the house of... The issues we're having in Pensacola, they are not Pensacola's fault. They're the church's fault. The issues that we will have, it begins here. If righteousness begins here, then people who come here and to places like here, who hear the truth here and are called to righteousness here and integrity here, will go out and be what they ought to be out there. But until we have integrity and righteousness and holiness in the house of God, we'll never have it at the courthouse. We'll never have it at the county commission. Never have it at school board. Until you've got righteousness here.